up there, let's talk about lockdown and lockdown easing. We saw some travel good news and some travel, we're not sure news when it comes to double jab people being able to travel without facing quarantine on their return, even if we are allowed into any European countries. If Merkel and Macron get their way, that's not the case. But of course, with the 4-week delay to lockdown easing, which of course the 4-week delay began on Monday of this week, we are seeing yet another London protest march on Saturday afternoon. There have been regular marches throughout the lockdown, many being arrested during those marches, even though it turns out that actually, you know, those protest marches were never actually illegal. But a major march is planned on Saturday. Let's talk to Laura Dodsworth, who's author of A State of Fear, and joins us right now. Good morning to you, Laura.
Hello there.
Now, you've been on some of these marches previously. You've also written this fantastic book. We've talked to you about it on the show. It's now on the bestseller list, and quite rightly, all about basically the propaganda that was used to basically terrify us into our homes and terrify us into supporting lockdown and what damage that has done. It seems to have terrified a lot of people also into not speaking out about lockdown. And we've seen protest after protest after protest. I'm planning to go for the first time on Saturday to this protest. I've not attended them before, partly because I've been very wary about being alongside people who are anti-vaxxers, who are conspiracy theorists, and frankly, people who are getting all their news from Facebook, and not wanting to be associated with those people while I'm trying to fight for sense and common sense and reason. But you've been on those marches, and I know you've said to me off air, you know, that actually, you know, there are thousands, sometimes even tens and tens of thousands of really ordinary people who just want ordinary life back, and they just are fighting for just getting our basic freedoms back.
Yes. Okay. So let me give you the inside scoop. I've been on three as a member of the press. I've reported on them for Spiked, and it's been interesting to be there and see what they're really like, and then see how they've been reported on by major broadcasters and newspapers. So first of all, they're huge. You probably will find yourself alongside a few people that you might think of as anti-vax or as a bit fringe. But the thing is, among tens and tens of thousands of people, you're going to find yourself alongside a lot of different kinds of people.
Yeah.
There are people of all ages, ethnicities. And I think, like, if I think about the last one I went to, which was in May, one of the most consistent themes on the placards was uniting against vaccine passports.
Yeah.
And it's easy to spin that into being anti-vax, but that's not really what I saw. But you will see some anti-vax placards, but that's definitely not been the main theme.
And the main thing is there've been lots of these people going on the protests, so people who don't go on protests. Look, we know there's the sort of the usual squad, the sort of socialist worker types who turn up at the drop of a hat to any protest of any kind, anti-police, Black Lives Matter, anything, and they'll just turn up to any protest or anything to sort of cause a bit of trouble. But these are, largely, you know, they're law-abiding citizens. They go out to work, the kids go to school, they do all the right stuff, they pay their taxes, they're members, normal members of society. You see them in the supermarket, you see them at the school gate. But they are seeing their lives decimated. They're seeing their businesses destroyed. They're seeing their freedoms destroyed. And they are, you know, they're ordinary people who are trying to have a say in a democracy which doesn't feel much like a democracy anymore.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, I interviewed people at the protest, and one of the big themes was, I've never been to a protest before, but I'm so worried about democracy. And I can give you two personal examples of how I came up against this. At one I was at in May, I bumped into a woman who I used to go to NCT with in Surrey. This could not be
antenatal
any more
classes,
suburban.
Yeah,
antenatal classes. I can't tell you how much more yummy, mummy, Surrey, safe and suburban this could be. And I was like, oh, hello, how, you know, what are you doing here? And at the first protest I went to, I was actually nearly arrested. I found myself surrounded by a group of policemen barking in my face that I had to go home or I'd be arrested. Now, at that point, I'm quite a long way from the protest. I'm at the back because, you know, when you're reporting, when you're photographing, you don't want to be right in the middle. You want to be on the edge because you're watching it. And I get out my press card, you know, hey, call it. Chaps, I didn't say that. I think I was a lot more timid. I'm a member of the press. And they didn't believe my press card was real. And it was actually a really intimidating situation. And unfortunately, on that protest in November, I saw many people at the back being arrested. I saw elderly elderly women being thrown on the ground and handcuffed and surrounded by the police. And actually all they'd been doing was walking at the back of a protest, which was not illegal, as you point out. So it was a very heavy-handed approach. Didn't see that the last two protests. But to be honest, I think the numbers were so big, they couldn't be dispersed.
But this is the interesting thing, but we do see this. I mean, if there is any coverage at all, it will be a brief mention. It'll be on the BBC website or Sky, and it will be there have been X number of arrests. You never hear the numbers. And we know, I mean, some of the footage of these protests, it just shows the huge numbers. And, you know, if this is a march for Remain, oh, it would have 24/7 coverage, wouldn't it? I've noticed Sky News in particular, obsessed with the protests in Brazil. Bizarrely, protests, loads of people protesting, we're told, against there not being a lockdown by Bolsonaro whilst walking along in close proximity with each other. Okay, all wearing masks, but it's quite bizarre. But protests in Brazil warrant a 10-minute report. A protest on London streets by British people against government policy with tens and tens and tens, sometimes even hundreds of thousands of people, barely a mention.
I know. Pre-pandemic, you couldn't have found anybody less cynical than me, but having been on three protests, it's changed my attitude a little bit towards the media, because I've seen that unless you see something with your own eyes, you can't trust the front page news, which has been an odd discovery. I've been quite bemused by it. I've seen that we live in a two-tier media and police state, because the approach at different protests tells you a lot about the political barometer. And I think, you know, I've been to protests where there was positive coverage of Christmas markets or people at Borough Market. Big crowds, people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But somehow the virus apparently behaves differently in those crowds to protest. And I think what it leads me to cynically assume is that there's more fear of political contagion than viral contagion. I suspect this Saturday is going to be huge. They're calling it the big one. You might find some anti-vaxxers there, but mainly I think you'll find a lot of people who are worried about how long this has gone on for.
Yeah.
They're worried about COVID certification, and they're worried about the return, the complete return of their freedoms.
And that, yeah, that's the thing. Look, now, I imagine there'll be a lot of people there who, like me, really, you know, absolutely understood the need. And again, I now regret thinking this, but at the time thought the need for that lockdown, the 3 weeks to flatten the curve and things, but then trusted that, you know, within a few weeks, I didn't think it would be just three, but that we'd be coming out. But certainly by, you know, May, I was going, well, hold on a minute, this isn't ever going to end. Even now, with the talk about, you know, June the 21st being scuppered, July the 19th, if you look at the data, it just doesn't make any sense. And we 19 people are reported to have died yesterday. We, you know, a very, very, very low death rate. We've already seen the peaking of this Indian variant in the places where it's been a hotspot. And we're not seeing hospitalisation. The number of people in hospital has actually gone down this week, not up. That does not suggest to me that we are in a situation where we should be desperately still locking down. But there are so many people who just say, what are you talking about? We're not in lockdown. Why would you be going on a protest against lockdown? Mm. We're not in lockdown. We're going to get all our freedoms back. It's going to be fine. But there are two issues there. Well, two or three, actually. One is, are we going to get all our freedoms back? Two is, are we going to have them taken away again in the autumn or winter when cases go up, as inevitably they will? And three, it's the fact that actually we are still in lockdown. The government can tell me whether I can sing or not, whether I can go to a school sports day, how many people can be in a theatre or in an office. I mean, wearing masks, forced to wear face coverings during, you know, large parts of people's days. How do people not how many people I can have in my house, for goodness sake, or my back garden? How is that not a lockdown?
I know. Well, you won't want to get me started on that. But, you know, one thing they'd better not tell you anymore, Julia, is that you shouldn't snog a non-cohabiting partner, right?
Yes. Someone should tell the health secretary about that.
And that leads me into a point about the protest, because when you see our leaders or the elite people behave as if there's one rule for them and one rule for us, what that really shows you is they're not really terribly worried about the danger, because they understand the severity of risk and how infection happens. The protests themselves are, in a way, the best evidence for what they're fighting for. There have been no spikes in infections following protests and outdoor gatherings.
Yep.
None. I think that most people who are at the protests would probably just want to say, give us back our God-given right to determine our own sense of risk and responsibility. Exactly. And the protests themselves don't lead to infections, which is what some quite smug smug commentators said at early protests. Oh, look at the COVIDiots. They're going to cause infections to go up. Well, they didn't.
No, indeed. And small things like facts, they'll catch on one day. Laura Dodsworth, author of A State of Fear, has been on three of those protest marches, big protest march from lunchtime in London, central London tomorrow.